Hi, welcome back. You're with Truth News Radio Australia. Welcome to the second hour of the show. It's great to have you aboard our little ship of truth as we ply our journey in between the many mysterious islands on this Halloween night, 31st of October 2012. And boy, we've certainly been encountering a lot of strange gargoyles and pumpkin masks tonight. Looking there at the bizarre and creepy behaviour of the Australian government in relation to the plight of one of their citizens, Julian Assange, I would say that whole theatre there is very much worthy of a Halloween night, wouldn't you say, Josh Jackson?
Look, to be honest, I mean, I've got to say this, that the Australian government really, I wouldn't feel like they would back me up for anything. You know, you hear about these countries are really behind their citizens. They weren't behind Chappelle, they weren't behind Assange, they weren't behind, like, they really don't get behind anyone because they're gutless, they're a gutless government. No matter who's in power, Labor or Liberal, yeah, or Greens or whoever, they're a bunch of gutless nitwits that really don't stand behind their citizens. What's the point of being Australian? What's the point of being an Australian citizen if you can't have the power of your country that you pay all these taxes towards forcibly?
Yeah.
What's the point?
But of course, they go through the pantomime. And this is even more frustrating, I find, is that if they just turned their backs on you, then you'd say, okay, well, that's, at least that's clear. But what they do is they pretend to care, and then they say things that are complete lies. And in the case of Assange, they've said, oh, we don't know anything about a grand jury investigation. Oh, no. And at the same time, their own people have been talking to the US FBI and the grand jury, and there's 40,000 documents in this investigation, and they've said, we want to interact with you so we can respond appropriately. So they're just a bunch of lying scoundrels.
Yeah. And, you know, the thing is that they're all about, we have to keep all your documents. All ISPs must keep all documents, must keep everything. They must spy on every one of you because, you know, and if you're not doing anything bad, well, there's nothing to hide. Well, guess what, folks? It should go the damn other way. If the government has nothing to hide, then they should show all their cards. They should have no secrecy from the people that they say that they serve.
Yeah, exactly. The government.
The government needs to, show their hands. What's the big deal if someone's, if someone's hacking into their emails? Well, whoop-de-doo. Guess what, Gov? You're hacking into our emails.
The government should be afraid of the people. And unfortunately, it's the other way around. The people are afraid of the government. The people are, in fact, so afraid. And it's not just the government, of course. It's the corporatist structure of our society, which entwines the most powerful organizations and the government into one monolithic force, which is very, very hard to reckon with because they control so much that if you go against them, you will be in trouble. And so people are afraid. People are afraid to speak out. And I was in the previous hour there, Josh, I was talking about the very sad circumstance that's developed where, you know, the disempowerment that the average person feels is so extreme that even when they are awake, as many listeners to this show are and many great and good people out there are aware of what's going on, but the disempowerment they feel is still so powerful that they feel they can't do anything about it. And this is what I feel we've got to change. This is the purpose of this radio show, the dialogue that we're having now. It's like to light a spark inside each and every person listening to say, we can change. We will change it. We will make a difference.
Exactly. Be the mischief you want to see in the world.
That's, yes.
But no, be the change you want to see in the world. And the thing is, From my side of this story, and everyone knows that I'm a bit of a voluntarist. I think the state at this point in time. I mean, we have needed them in the past to be safe from other invasions and all this sort of thing. But we are at a technological place now where we have so much power as a people that in terms of currency and trade and economics and movement and understanding each other in terms of translation, in terms of communication, in terms of banking, we don't need them anymore with functions like Bitcoin and protocols as such and encryption and all this stuff. Look, you know, the common status will say to me, look, we need a government because people are evil. Yeah, well, okay. Well, what's the government made of? People. Well, yeah. So evil people aren't going to be in the government? Well, no, we're going to put good people in the government. Oh, I thought you said, you know, how are you going to do that? It's because people are evil, right? Well, how are you going to do that? Because you're going to put people in power. Who's going to draw towards power? Well, only either greedy or corrupt or bully. People that think they know how to control your life better, or if you get the single one guy that's perfect and great and nice and good, someone that you really think, wow, he's a politician that really is good. Well, A, he's only good to your point of view, but let's say he's good for everybody. Everyone just loves him. Yeah. You know, eventually he's going to get in there and he's going to get turned by some corporation that will, you know, want to him to write or her to write some sort of laws to favor them. You know, it's just a flawed, despicable.
Can I make a suggestion? I think you're completely on the right track in what you're saying. And what I would like to, what I would like to merely emphasize here, though, is that what you're talking about and what you're projecting towards is a condition or a quality. You're basically saying that people can self-organize, they can self-govern, they can take care of themselves. They don't need a big daddy. They don't need a paternal kind of hand coming down to make everything work for them. So people have this ability to self-organize, but there is a problem in that a lot of people don't unaware of it, don't recognize it, or acknowledge it, or respect it within themselves, their own ability to get stuff done and to make a difference.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's like saying, "Oh, geez, we need to." Forcibly marry off all these women, all the women onto men, because you know, if we don't, how will ugly Dave get a wife? You know, people without violence do manage to voluntarily find partners. You know, we don't expect the government to sit there telling us who to marry or who to see or who to interact with, but when it comes to other things, we just say, well, oh, no, we can't. Can't possibly do that by ourselves. We can't possibly, you know. I mean, I think there's a certain amount of conditioning that we've had over the millennia, and fair enough. I mean, we have needed kings and queens and nation states and these in the past, but we're getting to the point now where I just look at everything and I just think, why do they need to do that? All it does is cause corruption and disgusting freaks like Kim Beazley, who are fat and jolly little dudes who you know, go around lying and thieving behind everyone's back, and then, you know, trying to incarcerate an Australian citizen who's done nothing but try to help society by you know, exposing war atrocities. And you get these slimy scumbag politicians wanting to basically murder him, kidnap and murder an Australian citizen.
And yet we feel that there's nothing we can do. You know, and this is the continual message I get from the people that I speak to in Australia, is that people feel there's nothing we can do about it. And yet, you know, even if you look at Palmer, look at the government, look at the structure of the government, it all implies democracy. It implies that we do run society. There is this idea. It's already in the it's implied. It's supposedly what we have is an autonomous, self-governing society. But the reality of it is completely different.
But we all know, I mean, we all know when we all sit down and say, oh, I'm going to vote for some independent, and everyone goes, ooh, don't do that, because that's a waste of a vote.
Well, that's right. But that also applies, if I might just interject, that also applies to all the twits in Parliament who all feel they've all got to vote together. You know, all those people sitting in seats could all vote differently, right? They could defy the party leadership. You know, a Green could vote against the carbon tax.
Yeah.
Why just because you're in the Green Party, why do you have to agree with the carbon tax? You might think it's wrong, but no, they've all got to agree because we're in a political party. We've all got to vote for the same thing. Well, so it's hive mind. It's not. You're not thinking. You're just a hive mind drone.
And this is what I liked about someone like Ron Paul, who just says, no, I'm not going to endorse Mitt Romney because I just think he's despicable. And just because I was running in that party, I go with any of them because I think they're all despicable. They're all warmongering, freaks. But look, it's if you're really looking at change, and we can all see, and you can really look at it, if Americans especially can see this now, I mean, they had this tyrant George W. Bush going around destroying people's liberties, waging wars, like endless wars, on terror and on nation states and on strange crimes like terrorism, a war on a crime. Then everyone's like, yeah, we want change. And everyone votes Obama. Nothing changes. There's more wars. More freedoms have been stolen. They have legalized the kidnapping of their own people and torture. They didn't close any of these illegal prisons. I mean, it's literally nothing changed. It's literally pass a baton. Subdue all the people. You know, when Obama got voted in, the anti-war movement fizzled out. Everyone went, good, okay. And all just people that would rock up in the thousands to demonstrate the Iraq war all of a sudden drizzled out to 20 because they feel like, oh, we've had a change. But really, nothing changed. And so people that believe that you can have change through political means is just totally deluded in the head. There is no change in political change. And if there is change, all you're doing is using violence of the state to say that you're...
Josh, we're just going to break. Thanks for that. We'll get right back into that when we come back from break. You're with Truth News Radio Australia. Please stay with us. I'm talking to Josh Jackson, and we are getting into some pretty meaty stuff here. So... we'll be right back after this short break. Are you getting fed up with all the disinformation, deception, spin, propaganda, half-truths and downright lies in mainstream news? Looking for something different? Visit Truth News Radio Australia, www.truthnews.com.au. And may the truth set you free.
No matter where you go in your life, at some point you're going to need somebody to stand by you. You gon' need somebody to
talk and that move is the only light we'll see.
Hi, welcome back to Truth News Radio Australia. It's great to be talking to you today. So, look, we've been going there through the little saga there about Julian Assange, and Josh, you made some really excellent points there about the political process. However, you know, a lot of this does depend on how you define words, and I think you always need to put little caveats when you... The little caveats should always be there as currently, you know, in practice. Because the word political process can mean anything, and it can mean something good, but it's just... The word has become bound up with a really broken, you know, corrupt, dishonest set of practices. You know, it's like the word climate change. The word has become so contaminated with lies that we forget that the word climate change is quite a harmless, you know, it's just a couple of words that describe something. And there's nothing wrong with it, you know. There's nothing wrong with climate change, you know. You know, the word politics is something to do with what people do when they get together. Now, it's not necessarily bad, but it has become so bad that word could well mean just like it's a dirty word.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it's like capitalism, for instance. It's been completely drawn through the mud. Most people, especially in Europe, just can't stand the word capitalism. And all it really means is I make a gizmo, I get it out there, and I manage to raise money to make it by someone.
Yeah.
And I sell it, and I try to make a profit to then pay my workers so it's sustainable.
Yeah, I mean, there's other words that, of course, fall into very bad favour as well, like the word collectivism. Now... And for good reason too. Like some of these words actually have been used by ideologues to create very, very bad outcomes for human society. And certainly, you know, collectivism, fascism, there's another word. You know, the word fascism was regarded as a good word for a long time. You know, I mean, up until about the late 1930s, fascism wasn't like an evil word. You know, fascists were, hey, they're good. You know, well, Mussolini, he's a good guy. He made the trains run on time. You know, that's what people said. And, and Hitler was on the cover of Time magazine, you know. I mean, but you know, these words are bound in with behavior that has become quite evil. And I think the same applies to capitalism, because although there may be some good things about capitalism, what we see with corporatist capitalism, the rule of the super elites controlling all of the means of production and turning us all into their kind of drone slaves, you know, that is what, when people say they hate capitalism, that's why.
Yeah. Oh, sure. And it's totally understandable, but it's a total distortion of the word. I mean, to say that, that capitalism right now is like saying that rape is lovemaking. It's a total distortion, because the capitalism we have now is bound with the state. A lot of the big corporations they spend, you know, 20% of their budgets on lobbying government to control their sector, which is using force. And it's not free market. It's not, hey, I voluntarily want to buy that. I'm forced because of the lobbyists writing laws to control a certain, like, for instance, roads. Right, a corporation goes in there, says, I'm going to build a private road. Okay, private to me sounds like it's a capitalist system. If I want to use the road, I'll pay for it. No, what they do is they force the government to give them a heap of money, and then they sort of spend their own private capital, a little bit of it. But then they say, okay, but to do that, we want you to close all public roads to funnel people through our new private road. So they're not allowed to even use any alternative. And this is a typical, I mean, this is just one example, but it's an example that outlines how crony capitalism has really distorted the term and made everyone sick and tired of it. And so people are running to these sort of other forms of, you know, and sort of have forgotten the gulags.
Yeah, well, collectivism then becomes the thing people run to, right? And again, you know, there's nothing wrong with collective action. In fact, collective action is necessary to solve problems, right? Whether it's like to stop a to you know, to dam up a flood, or whether it's to bring down some tyrant, collective action is necessary, you know, for growing agriculture and all these things. But again, collectivism becomes this hive mind thing, which then people just become incapable of having independent thought. And but you know, those two trends that you might say, capitalism and collectivism, could almost be flip sides of the same thing in their badness, in their darkness. I'm saying, you know, that actually when things get bad, those are both outcomes that happen at the same time. You get the greedy, power hungry elites sitting at the top of the pyramid, and then you get the slave society below, incapable of, you know, basically conditioned into not being able to act independently.
Yeah, that's right.
So in a way, there's not a dialectic. There's not an opposition between capitalism and collectivism. When things get bad, you get both of them.
And look, well, I mean, when I work in a big company,
yeah,
I'm effectively a collectivist because we're all collectively working together to create a product or a service,
yeah,
that is good. But the difference is that people are voluntarily wanting to buy or spend money and vote with their spending on my service. And if I don't do it good enough, if we don't, as a collective, do it good enough, then we're out of a job. Or if we don't do it cheap enough, or if we don't do it friendly enough. So, but governments, they really don't care. They're like,
I've got a bit of a disagreement with you in the sense that really people just don't have the choice. I mean, in an idealized way, I agree with you, but in reality, people don't have the choice to choose between major mega corporations, because any choice they make is going to be the same anyway. I mean, we've all found that with like the different sort of telecommunications carriers, or you know, the major airlines. I mean, there's no difference. They're just branded differently.
But again, these aren't free markets. So the telecommunications, especially. I mean, there are so many laws in place that makes it almost impossible to start your own telco. I mean, you try to start your own telco. It's, you know, first you've got to buy a certain spectrum. No, you're not allowed to buy because we only sell this certain amount of spectrum. Yeah. And by the way, you're not allowed to run a cable from this house to that house because you're just not allowed. And we've sold that to one company called Telstra, and we also subsidized that. And so this company runs all telephone communications, and they do a crap job. Well, bad luck, because they have the right to do that, because we give them the right. And it's not a free market, the telecommunity. And same with the airline industry. It's so controlled. And I'm not just blaming the government. I'm blaming also the companies, like these big companies that have airlines will get in there and say, we demand that you pass laws that we're not allowed to have another airline. And it's usually the workers' unions as well getting behind that, because if you do that, then it'll water down our jobs and blah blah blah, you know. And I'm not saying that unions are bad. Unions are great, they're important, but as soon as they get in bed with governments and use force, I find it just all a little bit wrong. And this is the same, you know, when we say capitalism, we sort of say, oh look, you know, but we don't really have much choice in companies. It's Coca-Cola or Pepsi. But,
yeah,
but in fact, if you look behind it, why is that? Because the major player is in whichever industry.
Sorry, I'm just going to have to cut you off there, Josh. We are going to break, and we will continue with that discussion right after this short ad break. You're with Truth News Radio Australia. It is great to have your company today. Please stay with us.
She said she learned the hard way. Says she wanna spare the children. She say don't give a say your soul away, cause all that you have is your soul. So don't be tempted by the shiny apple. Don't you eat of a bitter fruit. Hunger only for a taste of justice. Hunger only for a world of truth, cause all that you have is your soul.
Welcome back, you're with Truth News Radio. It's great to be talking to you today. Now, Josh, I'd actually like to move on to another topic for the rest of the hour. I want to talk a little bit about security. I've actually got a number of articles up here. One of them, I believe we've discussed this before, but I kind of wanted to highlight the way in which security measures become really so ridiculous. But I wanted to just like focus on it to understand that when you see security measures by large companies or governments or anything in between, right, that basically totally interfere with people's normal, you know, daily things that they need to do, are rude, are obnoxious, you also need to understand that this happened via a series of steps, and that each step of the way, the people who were implementing it thought they were doing the right thing. But what it can often end up is a total travesty and a totally obscene kind of, you know, hands down the pants TSA type experience, right? But there were a series of steps to get to that point, and each one of those steps, people went along with it and thought, oh, that's okay. And I just want to give you one example here that's really quite extreme. It's in relation to PayPal, and I've talked about PayPal on this show before in terms of some of their outrageous practices where they shut down accounts, they freeze accounts, they just take people's money, they reverse transactions. There's just this litany of things that PayPal does, and yet it's still the biggest, you know, it's by far the biggest online payment gateway, and it's not losing market share. You know, and another example there from what you were saying before, you know, it's very hard people to make that other choice. Very, very hard. People are largely stuck with these mega corporations because of the grip that they have. But let me just give you this story about PayPal shutting down a little charity effort run by a lady who has quite a successful website. The website is called regretsy.com, and it's kind of a quirky website. It's not really that like interesting a website, but it's quite popular. It's got a lot of quirky stuff on there. But the lady who runs it also gets involved in charity drives, and she's done a lot of charity drives before. And one of them was a charity drive to buy Christmas presents for children. And she uses PayPal, and she's used PayPal in the past, and she basically used just a little donate button there that PayPal offers without any caveats or any, you know, any suggestion that there's any limitation about how you might use that button. You can go to their website and you can look at it. You can see it says, oh, there's a button for donations. And you put that on there and people can give you money. Isn't it great? Okay.
Yeah, guess what? PayPal take a little cut, don't they? They take a little cut of someone's nice, when someone's nice enough to give to a child's Christmas present, PayPal take 30 cents plus 3.5% or whatever it is.
Oh, yeah, they take a little cut. But, you know, if that's all that they did, you know, that wouldn't be so bad. But what they're actually doing to people, and again, this is like a cascade of stupidities due to their security measures that they bring in, and due to the fact that this global organization of PayPal has people all over the world in different, you know, call centers, some of them in the Philippines, some of them in America, who don't even know what their policies are. They don't even know anything, but often get carried away with their little power trip, because PayPal, at a certain point in its evolution, decided that they were going to get tough on fraud, right? So they were going to flag certain transactions in some kind of algorithm that would then be used to basically stop people doing bad things. And again, this is the stupidity and incompetence of ill-considered measures. Just like what we see with the TSA in the airports, just like what we see with, you know, potential blacklists of, you know, censored words on the internet causing people's websites to get shut down. But, you know, with the best of intentions, but you end up with someone doing something totally harmless, having their website shut down in a one of those internet blacklist type scenarios. Well, here we've got a scenario where someone puts this donate button on their website. Now, I'll just read to you from this story. We have been trying to buy Christmas presents for kids in the Regretzi community. We took many applications, vetted them carefully, and set about creating a giant gift exchange program where you could buy a gift for the over 200 children we're helping. We raised so much money that we found ourselves in a position of not just being able to send toys, but to send a monetary gift to the families as well. We hoped it might help them make their holiday dinners more special, or maybe pay a pressing bill. PayPal shut it down. Apparently, we made the mistake of using the donate button, which PayPal is now claiming is only for non-profit organizations to use. They froze the account, which is also including other money that we use to make emergency gifts. That money isn't an issue, but what the hell, might as well keep everything. In other words, PayPal shut down all their accounts. Right. Last night, I decided to go about this a different way. Since these toys are already purchased, I decided to offer them for sale, just like any other retailer would. You could buy them according to what you wanted to spend. Just like any other retailer. PayPal shut it down. After a very long and jaw-dropping conversation with an incredibly condescending representative, they have decided that I must refund all the donations and purchases that have not been processed. If you don't... Okay, so I'll just skip over some of the content here. So basically, PayPal told them, we're blocking everything and you've got to refund all the money. And the lady here has put together some highlights from the conversation she had with the man at PayPal. PayPal says, only a non-profit can use the donate button. Me, that's false. It says right in the PDF of instructions for the donate button that it can be used for worthy causes. PayPal, I haven't seen that PDF and what you're doing is not a worthy cause. It's a charity. Me, what's the difference? PayPal, you can use the donate button to raise money for a sick cat, but not poor people. And this is a direct quote here. And this is like, this story went viral, right? And it was carried on a lot of big websites and it actually became a big news story. So this is not just an urban myth. This really happened, okay? They then said you've got to start a new website. Me, the problem is I've already bought all of these toys, so I'm now really in a position like any other merchant. I have inventory I need to sell. Why can't I sell them as gifts like any other retailer? PayPal. Don't you think it would look suspicious if the same people bought them again? Why? They're my customers. If you wanted to do that, you have to start a new website. Why would I have to start a new website? PayPal. I'm not going to argue with you. The only... It goes on like this. It goes on and on. It gets more and more ridiculous.
Yeah, I'm sure it links to it in the show notes, but... For me, it's come down to this, right? What does a bank do, or PayPal? What does a bank do? It holds a little database, which is, you know, like if everyone knows, just a quick, what is a database? A database is like an Excel spreadsheet. It's a spreadsheet. It's a rows and columns, and you basically put row one, Josh has this much money, and he owes this much money to these people, and these people owe this much money to him. It's a really small amount of data.
Yeah.
And banks have this tiny little ledger about you, that, and they charge through the roof. They have that much control. They control everything you do. The government can look in and spy on all your trades and transactions. They can shut you down. They can shut – PayPal can just shut you down if they don't like what you're doing. You know what? Stuff them. I'm using Bitcoin now, and it's fantastic. It's a grassroots thing. No one's in control of it. When I get money, I get money. I'm in control. No one can shut it down. No one can and I have control of my little ledger. I have the file that says how much I owed and how much I have sent, and no one can take money back.
We're just heading to break. Sorry to interrupt you there, Josh. We're just heading to break. We'll be right back here with Truth News Australia. Please stay with us.
Seems to me like they want us to be afraid, man. Or maybe we just like being afraid. Maybe we're just so used to it at this point that it's just a part of us, part of our culture. Security alert on orange. Been on orange since 01, G. I mean, what's up, man? Can a brother get yellow, man? Just for like 2 months or something? Goddamn. Sick of that. Mic check. The groove is thick, so I'ma rhyme like a lunatic. I do this shit with an unassuming wit. The corporation conjured up the bass and the tempo. My name is Liv, that's the intro, now let's go. The flow of life going strike.
Hi, welcome back here with Truth News. It's great to be talking to you today. I'm just kind of going through, just describing there the little saga in relation to PayPal. And the point there about this, and really I need to emphasize, that's not a one-off case. That's not just some freaky edge case. This has happened to a lot of people. It happened to me, right? It happened to me. And I ended up having a similar ridiculous conversation with a man in a call center in the Philippines who basically... I explained the whole thing. I mean, I explained it all in detail. And I even said, look, maybe I made a mistake. Maybe I shouldn't have put that button. But, you know, there was no instructions on there that told me that there was any problem with putting that button. It just said, here's a button that you can use. And then I get hit with my account being frozen. And now I want to make it right. And you won't even let me do that because you say I'm not a non-profit. And you're holding on to my money. And I said, this is just wrong. It's just, you've got to be able to resolve this. And he said, no. I mean, he said yes, but what he meant was no. And this is what they do. They do double speak. They say the opposite of what they mean. He said, look, I'm trying to help you today. I'm here to help you. And I said, good, let's resolve it. And he said, well, you've got to prove that you're a non-profit organization. You've got to show me all these papers and documents. And I said, I can't do that. I don't have those papers. I am not a non-profit. I just put that button on there by mistake. Sorry, but it was on your site and I used the button that you offered. And then we were in this loop of him just saying the same thing over and over again and me saying the same thing over and over again. And I gave up in absolute disgust. I was so angry. But this has happened to many, many other people on the internet. But the bigger picture here, and, you know, points taken for what you said before, but the bigger picture here is that they've implemented what they call security measures, Josh. But the people who are implementing them don't even know. They're not even talking to each other. In the story there before, the lady concerned actually eventually spoke to someone at PayPal headquarters who actually told her, and she had it in writing, that it is perfectly okay to use that donate button. It's just that you get little in-between middlemen people carried away with their little moment of power, that probably because there is some flag that went up, right? And it's just like the TSA guy, right, who you know, you get flagged for some reason. Maybe you're the 15th person and they check every 15th person. But suddenly the flag goes up and you're being groped and then they're carried away with their little power trip. And then if you don't comply 100%, they will then increase the pressure on you simply because they're carried away with their power trip.
Yeah. But it's it really is an issue. Payment online is such a big issue, and it, because money is now turned. Sorry, it's a bit of a tangent, but
yeah.
As you're talking about this, I've just got to thinking that money used to be this thing that you pay someone a bit of a piece of paper or some gold or some silver, and it's a private exchange. Ever since the internet came along, money's turned into also a tracking device. And a way that people can control you by shutting down your account or by suddenly, you know, like that woman, all of a sudden all her assets are frozen and she's stuck with an inventory. And it really is about seeking alternative. I'm not here to say that, you know, Bitcoin is the bee's knees. You know, there's plenty of alternatives, gold. But what I like about it online is that it's a way online, because I can't send gold to you, Herod, from Germany in an instant.
Yeah.
And a micro section of it. And it is a fiat currency because it's not – well, it's not fiat because it's not controlled by a single person or issued by a single person. But it is not backed by anything but the people that actually take it. But, you know, there is no security behind it either. If you get scammed, you get scammed, and that's not bad luck. That's you not doing a due diligence on a seller. So there is definitely things to look out for, because it's not a perfect world. There's no such thing as a utopia.
And, you see, Bitcoin could easily become sucked into the sort of same sort of tyranny we see with PayPal. Like, no one's immune. You see, no one is immune to this tendency. I really think it's about vigilance. It's about constant vigilance on the part of any individual to A, not put up with being treated poorly, and then to actively, you know, seek alternatives as you've suggested.
Yeah, but I mean, things like Bitcoin are kind of systematically, because the people that initially thought of the concept have made it so decentralized, it literally doesn't have a ruler. It's just out there. It's you have some coins, and if you want to send them to someone, you can. There's no in between. There's no middleman. No nothing. It's you hold your little purse, and someone else has a purse.
Yeah, yeah. It's fascinating, actually.
And it's about systematically saying, no, we don't want to trust these centralized organizations anymore, like PayPal. I mean, PayPal is so many. You look up PayPal suck or screw PayPal.com.
Yeah.
Story after story of such atrocities.
Yeah.
You know, I really trust, because when someone works, they work hard for their money, which is a store of value, which is an IOU to get something else later on from someone else.
It's like so crushing. It's so crushing to you spiritually, emotionally, you know, to have all your hard work just taken from you.
Thieved.
Yeah, yeah.
No, it is theft. And it's despicable that they think that because they run this system where they hold a crappy piece of data on you, meaning, you know, a little bit of a database of numbers, store a little bit of numbers for you, that they have all this power, when really I can store the numbers myself, thank you very much. I don't need you anymore.
But then again, the point and the kind of the theme here that I'm trying to drive through this show is that these people do it because they said, we've got to protect you against fraud. It's the same reason they brought in the body scanners and the groping at the airports. We've got to protect you against evil terrorists. It's the same reason they want to spy on everyone. You know, it's the same reason that the government wants to have access to all your internet records and just, you know, totally abuse your personal privacy because they want to protect you.
Some fool might get scammed by the Nigerian scam again after 15 years of it being public and known. Someone else is scammed by it. I mean, look, folks, and Benjamin Franklin put it perfectly. He, you know, those who give up essential liberty to purchase a little temporary safety deserve neither liberty nor safety, and I can't think of a better way to put it. You cannot give away your liberty for some safety, because A, You need to find, you need to figure out and build systems which you feel safe in. You know, build a lock. If you're going to do trade with someone, if you're going to trade with someone online, do your due diligence. Do your due diligence. And do,
do your due diligence. Well, that's a tongue twister, actually.
Yeah. I mean, if you're going to do, you know, really Google the people that you're doing business with. Have they got feedback? If you get an email that sounds too good to be true, copy and paste a part of that email into Google. See if someone else has received it, and it's just a bunch of spam that's being sent to millions of people. I mean, these are simple tricks you can do to stop yourself. And governments saying that, oh, we need to filter everyone. Filter your own internet. There's plenty of free software out there. Sure, the internet is a dangerous place for some kids because they can bump into some dodgy things. So talk to your kids about it. Talk to your kids about what's online and how to stay away. Install some stuff to, you know, there's plenty of free open source software to filter your own local internet at home. If you don't feel that you want it totally open, it's totally fair enough. But don't dare go lobbying the government to filter my internet because, you know, and everyone else's for us, because that's just a total road to tyranny. That is a golden path leading straight to tyranny.
Yeah, well, of course, and in the new cybercrime legislation that's recently gone through in Australia, this is not internet censorship. This is government spying, essentially, on anything that you do on the internet. That, of course, is just another style of trying to make you safe to basically deprive you of your privacy. But it's the same concept as walking through a body scanner. It's like, well, sorry, you know, you thought that was your private space. It's not anymore because, you know, the greater good, you've got to sacrifice that now. But then again, it always ends up being leading to these stupidities, like we saw with the lady there who was trying to do a charity run. It ends up just crushing and stepping on people who are actually doing nothing bad at all. And yet the people who are implementing it are stupidly carried away. It's like there's this mixture of their incompetence and their arrogance that they don't even acknowledge because their ego gets caught up in it. And I think we're getting right into it now, because it's the ego gets carried away. The people who are put into these positions of temporary power and authority because of the superstructure, they are sort of victims of the psychological patterning that we have within us. That people because they've lived within a hierarchical society and been subjected to this kind of abuse, they want to then perpetuate that against others.
Yeah, and it comes from their parents too.
Yeah, and we've got to break the cycle. Mm. And you know, like, we can bring you endless news stories on this show. And we often do. But, you know, what's really more important? I mean, you know that information's out there. We don't really have to give it to you. But what I think that we're doing here today, and what's actually quite unique, is we're actually just trying to awaken something. You know, and whether it's that you go out and you open a Bitcoin account, or you go and you charge down to Parliament House and say how you feel to someone, I don't know what it is, but you're going to do something. We're at the end of the hour. Josh, thanks so much for coming on today.
It's been an absolute pleasure.
We will be back next week. And Josh, I will be speaking to you again very soon. You're with Truth News Radio Australia, signing off. See you next week.
Peace.